The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Seth and Chris Show. Happy Thursday, March 1st, 2018. Delighted to be able to pronounce the month we're in. So we have 11 months of that, which is good. Thank you. I am Seth Leibson. Our phone number is 602-508-0960. Should you like to weigh in on anything on your mind, lines are open. And want to give you a couple announcements, a couple special things coming up. One, tomorrow in our installment of in our next installment of teaching about exploring great conservative thinkers who helped shape the modern American conservative movement, we did a couple tributes to William Buckley this past week. He's deserving of a lot more, and I actually have something fun to share with you about him in a minute. But we got a couple requests saying, okay, you guys keep talking about without Buckley, without these guys, no Goldwater, no Reagan. We've done a lot on Reagan. We haven't given Goldwater his due. We got to talk about Barry Goldwater and what his candidacy and what his a speech at the 1964 convention and what his book, Conscience of a Conservative, what all of that meant to the modern American conservative movement, too. Quite right. So tomorrow, his son, former Congressman Barry Goldwater Jr., he was a congressman, several-term congressman from California. I don't know if people knew that. Barry Goldwater Jr. will be in studio talking about the legacy of his dad and what we need to and should learn from that. I also want to do a shout-out real quick. To a colleague here, Jean Lanieri. She's the director of our promotions. Whenever we do a big event or any event, public event, book signing, bring in speakers, the kind of thing we did with No Safe Spaces, it's Jean and her team that runs point on this. But she did something extra special. But it should be default. So she gets an A, and it's wonderful that she did it. And I guess everyone else gets an F because it should be commonplace. And this is a compliment and a complaint. I'm giving and taking at the same time. My foot is on the accelerator and brake at the same time. Because we have an interesting office dynamic here. I just have to get this off my chest. We have an interesting office dynamic here. As anyone who works in most offices knows, there will be great moments on special days where someone will bring in food for the office, whether someone stopped at got brought in donuts or brought in, I don't know, breakfast tacos or something, cookies. Email will go out and everyone, hey, cookies in the kitchen. Yay. And but there's a problem here. There's a problem here. It's as if no one has ever eaten before. So, you know, like Tom and Jerry on a ham bone, like the buzzsaw effect gets eaten within the first 5 minutes. There is a second shift here. There is a second shift of people that work here. Not everyone comes in at 9:01 to start their day. And let me be specific. There is an afternoon show here that includes a producer named Bill, whom you know and love, and me, whom you know. I don't know about the love. And Buskirk. So we get here, and the cupboard is always invariably bare. It's just invariably bare. So Jean did something very special today. She brought in cookies for the office and segregated an amount for the afternoon shift, for the second shift. So we have a new motto here for anyone bringing in food. But the second shift should not get short shrift. That's our
Seth,
new motto.
Seth, you were right again.
Right. The second shift should not get short shrift. Short shrift is a great phrase. Do you know what shrift comes from? Shreve. Comes from Shreve. Do you know what Shreve or Shrive comes from? The act of confessing. The act of confessing. So in the Lord of the Isles, I think is where it comes from. Richard says to Hastings, make a short shrift, meaning, you know, let's get on with it. You know, let's get on with it. Scriptum is the Latin source of it. But I've always just loved that expression, short shrift, and have been longing to use it for some time. And now we can use it. There's an attendant conversation about words that don't have meanings, but we'll get to that in another day. Let me just say something about the news today and Donald Trump. He's not playing small ball. My gosh, we can talk about tariffs and argue about them probably till the cows come home. We should look up the origin of that phrase too. We're going to learn everything by the time this show is over. When the cows come home, we can argue about tariffs a lot, and there is a lot to argue about, whether they are good, whether they are bad, whether they are good long-term, short-term, whether they're always bad or sometimes good. They have a complicated history. It does look like they affected the markets negatively today. We'll talk to John Dombrowski about that. It is not a complete departure from conservatism, by the way, to engage in tariffs. Again, separate from the debate, just as a historical point, Alexander Hamilton argued for certain kinds of tariffs, certainly Lincoln, Calvin Coolidge. These are conservative landmarks, benchmarks. Ronald Reagan used some tariffs. Again, we can argue good or bad and effects, but to say that they have no place in conservatism is simply wrong. Even Adam Smith, the godfather of modern capitalism, if you will, or contemporary capitalism, saw a certain place for tariffs. But anyway, Donald Trump is going into a discussion of tariffs. That's not small ball. Gave a big presentation on the opioid crisis today. That is not a small thing. We can talk about that, too. While he's busy doing that, here's what you get from CNN. Headline today. Remember yesterday's headline? It was very similar to today's headline. The headline today, White House meltdown on full display. Yesterday, I think they used the word crack up or something like that. But today, it's White House meltdown on full display. You get the sense that there's a meltdown? Why is there a meltdown? If there's anything that's melting down, it seems to me, it's the case that there was collusion with Russia during the election. That seems to be what is melting down. Trump White House melting down? But get this. This is a perfectly good illustration of what Chris and I were talking about. I think we got the phrase from James Burnham when we were talking about his contribution to modern American conservative thought. James Burnham had a phrase, what was it, the immediate dialectic that the left uses, any argument at hand at any moment, not connected to any, you know, period of time, any memory, any consistency, any coherence, just any safe, any harbor in a storm will do, right? Here's a perfect illustration of that. I'm quoting from CNN. The tumult of the past week has fueled a deep and seething anger within President Donald Trump. How do they know that? The last people who would know Donald Trump's mood probably work at CNN. So he now has a deep and seething anger. Okay. On it goes. But one that allies and aides say has escalated as he faces a new gauntlet of problems, including the encroaching Russia investigation. Yeah, they always, that's you just have to hit F6 if you're a reporter to get something about the Russian investigation in there. There's no news on the Russian investigation. Put it in there. All right, so get this. Here's a perfect example, a beau ideal example of the dialectic of the immediate. Listen to this paragraph. Quote, his soothing communications guru is leaving. His obstinate attorney general has turned openly defiant. His son-in-law and senior advisor was stripped of his security clearance. His cabinet secretaries keep spending an inordinate amount of taxpayer dollars on luxuries. His most loyal allies in Congress describe his meetings as surreal. Okay, let's just break that up and analyze it one at a time here, shall we? Let's start with the first one. It's about this person, Hope Hicks, Sean and I talked about yesterday. His soothing communications guru is leaving. Okay, Hope Hicks made some news over the past year and a month of the Trump presidency. She made some news, not a lot, but some. Whenever she did, the news about her was always critical, that she was unqualified, that she didn't have much of a portfolio, that she was, in some respects, eye candy. It was always critical that she was an empty, basically, cipher, a zero, a placeholder, someone who was just a loyalist. All of a sudden, her departure as a soothing communications guru leaving is emblematic of a meltdown. This is a perfect example. Every report about her up until yesterday was critical, that she was not qualified for that job. But now that she's leaving, it's a meltdown. Do you understand why people are fed up with and don't pay attention to this kind of drivel anymore? Hope you do. Be right back. Welcome back to the Seth and Chris Show. This makes me very sad. This makes me very sad given the news that people sent me today thinking I'd be happy about this. I don't know why they think I'd be happy about this. There's a new Magnum PI series starting with actors nobody's heard of to recreate the magic that once was in the 1980s. No, no. It's not going to work. It's just not. It was a special, sweet, generous thing, Magnum PI. I guess we'll have to talk about that later, but let's bookmark it. I could do a whole thing on the importance of how great Magnum PI was, but we'll save it for another time. I have to get through what I promised, which was the origin of the phrase "until the cows come home" or "till the cows come home." We looked it up. I did not know this. There are a couple theories. One of them, when horses leave a barn, they will ultimately return, theoretically, I don't know, or stable, I should say, when they leave a stable. I don't own horses. If you own horses and own a stable, let me know. But cows won't. Evidently, if cows leave the barn, they just go, they go on walkabouts and don't return home. That's one theory. The other theory is that, and this comes from phrase origins of the from the United Kingdom, that cows are notoriously languid creatures and make their way home at their own unhurried pace. And that's what it's about. They're just slow. They're just wandering about. They're languid. That should be the word of the day, languid. Of course, Groucho Marx in Duck Soup had a great line. You want to know what he said? "I could dance with you till the cows come home. Better still, I'll dance with the cows until you come home." He was good that way. All right. Here's something that just I've been thinking about. It's kind of fun. Do you remember we were talking the other day about when you write an op-ed these days, or you're told? I think we were talking about this, weren't we? You're often told write it as if the audience is basically an eighth grader, just because, you know, people don't have a lot of patience anymore. They don't have a lot of time. Jeff Jacoby at the Boston Globe once lamented this to me in a beautiful phrase. He's a great writer. He said, "I've never succumbed to that advice," he said, "because I've always believed an op-ed should give the reader a reading experience." I've always loved that. Isn't that a nice expression? Should give the reader a reading experience. But, you know, as someone who's done a lot of ghostwriting, I've written in my own name, you are continually counseled to write as if the reader is basically in the eighth grade. Just as I said, patience, education level, reading comprehension, all that. And I hate it too. But I was, for reasons that have to do, again, I said I'd come back to Bill Buckley, for reasons that have to do with it, I was having a little bit of fun going back, looking at some of his stuff. You know, he ran for mayor of New York City in 1965, something we didn't talk about in talking about Bill Buckley. And it was a fun race by all accounts. He came in third with 13% of the vote. And maybe this is the council. Maybe this makes all the council right, because he would not give in to that advice. He would not speak to or write to an eighth grade or thereabouts level. two things, but they, in their own way, are kind of interesting this way. That mayoral race was what, something like 52 years ago. The things he was outlining and talking about are all the more relevant today. And again, as a friend of mine, Steve, points out, when you look at the founding tablets of the modern American conservative movement, whether it's the National Review's founding or the Young Americans for Freedom and the Sharon Statement, a lot of these issues were really kind of at home in the Trump base of 2016 and the Trump candidacy in 2016, when a lot of writers, including those, I have to say, at National Review, were saying this isn't conservatism. The truth was, it was conservatism. It was the conservatism of an earlier day. It was the conservatism that founded the movement. And Buckley is running on this in 1965. So this is kind of a twofer. It's kind of fun. A, to see how relevant the issues were, and also how much at home I think you would find Donald Trump with these sentiments, and B, just how political leaders, or at least once in a while a political leader, or at least a great man of letters in Bill Buckley's case, running for a political office, talked. So a reporter was asking him what was the problem with New York City that required his candidacy. And his answer is, what is the matter is that New York is reaching the point where it faces the marginal disutility of block satisfaction. The race to satisfy the bloc finally ends in disarraying even the individual members of that same bloc. If, for instance, you give taxi owners the right to limit the number of taxis available in the city, people who need taxis to get from where they are to where they want to go can't find taxis when they most want them. If you allow truck drivers to double park because it is convenient to them and to the merchants whose goods they are unloading, traffic is snarled and taxi drivers can't move fast enough to make a decent living. When the traffic is snarled, people stay away from the city and the merchants lose money. If the merchants lose money, they want to automate in order to save costs. If the unions don't let them automate, they leave the city. When they leave the city, there are fewer people to pay taxes to city officials and to the unemployed. And the unemployed aren't allowed to drive taxis because the taxi owners share a monopoly. Taxes have to go up because there are fewer people to pay them. The unemployed grow restless and breed children and crime. The children drop out of school because there isn't anyone at home to tell them to go to school. Some of the children who go to school make school life intolerable for other children in school, and they leave and go to private schools. The teachers are told they mustn't discourage the children, or they will leave the schools and commit crime and unemployment. The unions don't want the unemployed hired because they will work for less money, or because they are minorities and obviously can't lay bricks or wire buildings like white people can. Language is a little different then, of course. So they are supposed to go off somewhere and just live and stay out of the way. But they can't live and stay out of the way except in houses. And houses are built by plumbers and electricians who get $8, $10, $12 an hour, which means that people can't afford to buy houses or rent apartments at rates the city can afford to pay its unemployed. So the federal government has to build housing projects. But there aren't enough housing projects, so there is overcrowding and family life disintegrates. So people turn to crime, others to ideology. You can't walk, this is my favorite part, you can't walk from one end of New York to another without standing a good chance of losing your wallet, your maidenhead, or your life, or without being told that white people are bigoted, that blacks are shiftless, that free enterprise is the enemy of the working class, that Norman Thomas has betrayed socialism, and that the only thing that will save New York is for the whole of the United States to become like New York. Boy, you hear that all the time still from the left today. And how funny was that? That's an answer off the cuff from Bill Buckley running for mayor. Not exactly at the eighth grade level. Issues still with us. More trenchant now, more relevant today. 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. Love that song. That's great. Welcome back to the Seth and Chris Show. If it is 3:34, it is time for John Dombrowski from Grand Canyon Planning Associates giving us a culture and market update. John, how you doing, man?
Hey, doing well. Thanks so much.
Did you hear that about, we were talking a little bit about the phrase origin of Till the Cows Come Home. Had you ever heard that before?
I've heard of Till the Cows Come Home, but I would imagine it's something to do with the farm, but I didn't
hear.
Yeah,
no, it goes, evidently cows are languid creatures, and when they, unlike horses, when they leave the stable, when cows leave the barn, often, I guess, they don't come back, or they just come back very, very slowly.
Very slowly.
But yeah. I liked Groucho Marx's take on it from the movie Duck Soup. Do you like the old Groucho Marx movies?
To a degree.
That's a no. I'll take it as a no. I'll take it as criticism.
Now, I'm not that old.
He says, I'll dance with you till the cows go home. Better yet, I'll dance with the cows till you come home.
Till you come home. That'd be better. That might be better. Depends on how well your relationship is.
Yeah, I guess.
Anyway.
Speaking of could be better.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I'm looking at these
markets, and the numbers aren't great.
It's interesting. We had a kind of a flat open this morning, waiting for Powell to speak, Fed Chair Powell to speak. And I think he kind of did ease a little bit some of the concerns, and the market seemed to rally a bit. But then President Trump made a comment, which, I mean, he's been talking about fair trade for many years, right? And he made a comment about tariffs on aluminum and steel.
Yes, he did.
And that initially set off a little bit of a shakeup in the markets, and they were not able to recover from that. And again, the media continued that talking point throughout the day. And I think that definitely led to the downturn in the market. And here we are, closing down 420 points today. Yesterday, we were down 320 points. And on Tuesday, we were down 300 points. So, we started the days up. The market's trying to move forward. But throughout the day, additional news came in and just kind of rocked the boat a little bit. And unfortunately, we've got a little more volatility in the markets, and this is what happens.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, and this is going to set off an interesting debate, too.
We
seem to go through this every once in a while regarding tariffs. There are strong opinions about tariffs, really strong opinions. And, I mean, the initial data, it looks like the majority of the data shows that they generally are not good or great.
Well,
but there is a long history to it, and there are some asterisks.
Well, I would say, if you look at some of the big manufacturers that would get hit, of course, is the auto industry.
Right, of course.
And we did see that with some of the auto stocks today. However, you think about some of the imported cars that we have in this country. And one of the big ones, the ones from China.
Yep.
Those are the ones that are really subsidized from China. And that's a real challenge for us to compete. Boy, there's some pretty nice vehicles out there.
Yeah.
Dollar for dollar, if you put them up against the American cars. The Chinese cars do very well, the Hyundai and the others out there. I would say that this is certainly going to be interesting, and it's going to be difficult to maneuver through some of the challenges some of these companies may be facing over the next couple of months or even the next year or two.
Yep. We're going to have that debate probably on the economy and politics with some of these some of these things Trump is reinjecting into the discussion, whether it has to do with trade policy, free trade, whether it has to do with more specifically these kinds of tariffs. I think it's going to be ultimately a healthy debate as to what helps and what hurts the American economy, specifically the American worker. Worse. And, one of the interesting things is manufacturing has made a comeback here.
Yes. And I was going to say, now you may think right off the bat that this is a bad thing.
Right.
But for U.S. manufacturers, this longer term can maybe make a big difference to some of them. So you're right. It's going to be a debate. It's going to be a fight. And we're going to have to see where all the pieces fall. But ultimately, Donald Trump's very headstrong on his opinions. And whether or not these things get done or not, of course, is not always up to the president.
Right, right.
So there's a lot of others that he has to convince before these things will become policy.
One other thing worth saying about the economy that interesting column. Well, maybe we can save it for next week. But for all the talk about rising consumer prices, a writer at the Wall Street Journal put today, inflation really isn't spiraling out of control.
It is not. Right. And, okay. And I agree with that comment. Yep.
Good. All right, we'll pick up on that more next week, but I know you have a disclaimer.
You bet. Securities and advisory services offered through Client One Securities LLC, a member of FINRA and SIPC, and an investment advisor, Grand Canyon Planning Associates LLC, and Client One Securities LLC are not affiliated. Check out our website, GrandCanyonPlanning.com.
Hey,
thank
John.
You. Yes.
We will see you before the cows come home.
Yes, because they never come home.
That's right.
All right. Take
see
care.
You later.
Bye-bye.
602-508-0960, whatever's on your mind. We are right here, and we will be right back. A girl named Bo. We all know who that is. That was Lee Majors, right? Singing from the show The Fall Guy, right? Where he was a stuntman. That's him singing. Who knew Lee Majors could sing until The Fall Guy? That was a fun 80s show. Not as good as Magnum P.I. Had one of the two famous Heathers of the 1980s, right? Heather Thomas in that case. Heather Locklear's been in the news for not great things lately. She was the other famous Heather of the 1980s. Is there a third? Is there a third Heather that was famous? If so, I don't remember. That was before your time, right? You were just a young'un. Speaking of actors, though, this weekend we're going to get, particularly, I guess, Sunday, the Academy Awards, the Oscars. We've talked a little bit about them, and it's going to be hard to take, especially with Jimmy Kimmel hosting. It's, you know, we thought maybe there would, maybe there will be. I'm telling you, I don't think so. I think it's going to double down on the sanctimony. We thought maybe given all the bad news of October, basically through December on Out of Hollywood that started with Harvey Weinstein and moved out from there to affect so many other famous Hollywood actors and directors. Maybe they'd just be a little more humble this year. Having Jimmy Kimmel host is not that. It's the opposite of humility. It's more political sanctimony at a time when I think Hollywood is not reading itself right or reading itself well. I think if Jimmy Kimmel stays completely apolitical, which I doubt he will, because that is not what he has been known for lately, and if he can be funny, which I don't know if he is capable of, then we'll have to. Why couldn't we go back to, you know, someone like Billy Crystal was a great, you know, he's still lovable, right? Everyone still likes Billy Crystal. Someone like that would have been so much better. Or another kind of comedian, maybe like a Jim Gaffigan or something. I don't know. Steve Martin would be fine. Anyway, so you know it's going to be dollars to donuts. We're going to have to look that up, but I will bet you dollars to donuts that you're going to hear a lot about guns from Jimmy Kimmel, from others. This is what you're going to hear about. You're going to hear about guns. You know, the CMA Awards or the Academy of Country Music Awards came pretty much on the heels of the terrible shooting in Vegas, which was a country music concert. They did it right. You know, they did not politicize it. They just did a nice memorial tribute, starting with starting with Darius Rucker doing the Hootie and the Blowfish song. And it was just, they said they gave it in tribute to people who were wounded and lost their lives. And they didn't make a political point. I'm telling you, that's not what's going to happen here. They're going to make a political point. But there's this very interesting piece over at Breitbart about the hypocrisy. I think that's what the H in Hollywood really should stand for now, the hypocrisy. Whether it has to do with them lecturing us on the environment as they fly these, you know, carbon dumpsters, also known as, you know, private airplanes. I'm not against private airplanes. I just don't want to be lectured at by people who use them that I'm the problem with the environment. In any event, all these pro-gun control celebrities, Breitbart writes about, have made a big living and a lot of money using firearms and wielding guns in their trade, in their movies. Last week, actress and star of the NBC Blacklist, Megan Boone, tweeted that her character on the popular crime drama would never carry an assault rifle again. The tweet, which was in response to the Florida shooting, posed a glaring question. Well, other pro-gun control Hollywood actors and directors who've used firearms in films for years pledged to lay down their guns in future films. George Clooney pledged to give $500,000 to a gun control march, but his career is littered with films in which his characters use guns. Will he now pledge to leave guns out of his future projects? Same with Jim Carrey, Mark Ruffalo, Matt Damon. Jim Carrey has spent years making films with characters using guns, and yet he called defenders of the Second Amendment heartless mother something, some word I can't say. George Clooney, dozens of films from The Peacemaker to Ocean's 11 to Monuments Men all used guns. Jennifer Lawrence is in the news a bunch. Winter's Bone, X-Men, Days of Future Past, and Joy, all with big guns. Samuel L. Jackson. Well, I mean, you could go through a lot of his movies, but just all you need is Pulp Fiction, frankly. Emma Stone. Emma Stone is asking Americans to reject the NRA. Take a look at a movie of hers called Zombieland. Take a look at that. Steven Spielberg himself, more than 60 movies and TV series that feature guns. But he's donating $500,000 to the upcoming student march for gun control, known as the March for Our Lives. Matt Damon, gun-wielding CIA agent Jason Bourne, but really former CIA agent, just an individual with a gun, flouting the gun laws, by the way, of Europe. Jessica Chastain. I mean, Elizabeth Banks. On and on it goes. Take a look at a movie of hers called Slither. Alec Baldwin. Take a look at a movie of his called The Edge. There's just a lot of this on and on and on. I could keep going. Julianne Moore, Michael Keaton, Don Cheadle, Sharon Stone, Mark Ruffalo. Take a look at a movie of his called Now You See Me. Ron Perlman, Jeffrey Wright, Deborah Messing. Take a look at a movie of hers called The Mysteries of Laura. Kevin Bacon. Take a look at a movie of his called Trap. Sally Field, Eye for an Eye. You get the point. What I long for from Hollywood is two things, really, two things. We got them in the 60s. Great, great blockbuster movies. Used to do them. Now we're mostly doing remakes. And the end of the lecturing, the end of making the celebrity the great political leader of our time. I say that full well aware of the irony that Donald Trump is well known as a celebrity. Someone brought this point up with me today or the other day. But when you think about it, his TV series, you know, I really don't think the base of voters, frankly, who supported him because of what he portrayed on TV. I don't think so. When you look at Ohio and Pennsylvania and Michigan and what they were dealing with, you know, shows about millionaires and celebrities, that wasn't really the coin of their realm. It was what he was talking about. And he was a celebrity or at least a well-known figure long before he had his NBC TV show. So, yeah, he was a celebrity, but I think the relevance of it was a diminishing return for his electoral victory. All right, should I hear music? I don't. I should. 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. Dang her black heart and her dirty red neck. That's very funny. Sammy Kershaw, the opening of that song is one of my favorite things because he talks about meeting this girl at a lobster tank. the restaurant, right in front of the lobster tank. We love restaurants with lobster tanks. Whether you like lobster, eat lobster or not, it's just an old throwback. You don't see much anymore, except, I guess, Red Lobster. What other restaurants have lobster tanks? We can't get a good list outside of Red Lobster. I guess some of the steakhouses, high-end steakhouses maybe, although I'm straining to think now of it. Morton's used to, but there's no more Morton's, I don't think. We were talking about the hypocrisy. Some of this bark is going to be stripped off the tree. There's a movie coming out called Chappaquiddick, and it's already been shown at Sundance, I think, but it's going to come out with a massive release in April. And boy, does it not make the Kennedys look good. And that is an understatement. Let me just read you the plot. And this is from Wikipedia. Okay, this is, so it could get edited at some point, but this is the common wisdom from Wikipedia. In 1969, Massachusetts Senator Ted Kennedy drives his car into the water in Chappaquiddick. His passenger, the young campaign strategist Mary Jo Kopechne, is trapped in the car and left to die alone. Kennedy does not immediately call the police. He instead returns to his hotel, sobers up, attempts to establish an alibi, and calls in the help of his dominant father to save his political career. This is going to be a reminder of all we have put up with from the Kennedys while being lectured at by them on morals and standards, at least Ted Kennedy. This is going to take a big bite out of that legacy. It comes out in April. I had mentioned I was looking forward to the Hulu series The Looming Tower, based on the book The Looming Tower that Hugh Hewitt's always talking about. I started watching it. It's great. It is great. It's sad. It's sad. Because you see an expose on a massive scale of something kind of like what took place in Florida. Law enforcement agencies not talking to one another, protecting turf, things they knew about, they could have done things about. It's really unfortunate. But it is as educational and reminding good. Big systems don't work. That includes the government. 602-508-0960. Be right back.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.